You're listening to Cinematic Adventures, proud member of the Misfit Faction Media Network.
Good morning, Vietnam!
I love the smell of napalm in the morning.
You're gonna need a bigger boat.
I feel the need for speed.
Roads, we're going, we don't need roads.
Snakes, why did it have to be snakes?
Vices? We don't need no vices. I don't have to show you any stinking vices.
You make me want to be a better man.
Nobody puts baby in a corner.
I wish I knew how to quit you.
Love means never having to say you're sorry.
He's looking at you, kid.
Not bad. I'm just drawn that way.
Hello, everyone, and welcome back to Cinematic Adventures. Don't forget, if you guys are taking us on the go, you can find us on Podbean, Apple Podcasts, Stitcher, Spotify, iHeartRadio, basically anywhere you get your podcast. You can also find more of our content on our website, themisfitfaction.com. There you find links to not only this show, but some of our other shows, like MF Uncensored and the Multiverse Fancast. As always, I'm one of your hosts, Paul. With me in the studio today is Sean. Sean, how are you today?
Oh, I am wonderful.
You don't seem wonderful,
tired.
Sean.
Tired. I'm just tired.
Tired of the malarkey.
Yeah.
Just another week of not being a millionaire lottery winning.
Oh, God.
Did you play the lottery this week?
No, I did not.
I did. $700 million? No, I did win $4 last week. Almost quit my job. Yeah. I started writing out the letter and everything. But anywho, we are back. And after we did Teen Wolf last week, we really wanted to kind of keep that momentum going. And we mentioned during the episode talking about Buffy the Vampire Slayer. And guess what? It's our show. We're going to talk about Buffy the Vampire Slayer.
What?
I said we're talking about Buffy the Vampire Slayer.
I know.
No, and then. There you go. I knew I'd get that one. I knew that one would get you. All right. So we are going to talk about the original film first, much like we did for Teen Wolf. And then we're going to talk about the actual TV show that followed. Now, this one's a little unique in terms of both were created by Joss Whedon.
Yes. The movie was actually written by Joss Whedon, and then the show was created by Joss Whedon.
So it's very strange considering they are very different properties. Like, some of the main things are still there, but it's
like Buffy.
Like Buffy by name. And yeah, that's pretty much it. But apparently they are working on a reboot, per Joss Whedon, as of July 2018.
Oh, well, that's not happening.
That's not happening because, unfortunately, and let's get this out of the way, Joss Whedon got recently canceled.
Not recently. It's been a while.
A few years ago. Like right after the Snyder Cut, or right after the original Justice League came out.
Yeah.
For those of you guys who don't know, Joss Whedon was acclaimed in the nerd community. Like, people loved him. You know, he was, you know, Firefly, Buffy, Avengers, you know, all these things. He was like a nerd king. And it's recently come out that he was kind of an asshole behind the scenes. Not a whole lot has been released as of yet. Ray Fisher was a big, like, the really kind of
Ray Fisher, but then you hear about Charisma Carpenter and yeah. Allison Hannigan, and even Sarah Michelle Gellar hasn't said anything against Joss Whedon, but she's obviously going to stand by her castmates.
Yeah, so let's start with the Ray Fisher thing. So obviously Joss Whedon took over Justice League for Zack Snyder due to his tragic loss. And, you know, at the time we were super excited, and then the movie comes out, and we were very kind to that movie, like, in retrospect.
I will say this, again, it's not a popular opinion. I can actually watch the Joss Whedon Justice League movie more than I can watch the Zack Snyder movie.
I will argue that it's only because of length.
It's not so much length, but the movie is so Batman and Robin-y that it's just...
You shut your whore mouth.
You want to hate it, but you want to like to hate it.
I don't. I don't want to do anything. There's a handful of parts of that movie I can watch. Absolutely.
Oh, the Joss Whedon one.
Yeah, a handful. Yeah. But, like, I can watch the Zack Snyder cut. The only thing for me is it's really the length. Like,
I mean,
just
the Zack Snyder one, I mean, you know, you got to, like...
It has an intermission.
Jeez. It's like 1950s with these movies where, you know, you have
Let's all go to the
movies.
Concession stand. Yeah. But, anywho, so after that came out, Ray Fisher was the one who really kind of... He shined a spotlight on Joss Whedon and said behind the scenes he was terrible. Mm. Like, he was rude, he was angry, he threatened Gal Gadot's career, and we love Gal Gadot. She's a treasure. The one of the Fast and Furious movies, the first one with her, was on the other day. I was like, oh my gosh, she's so young. But anyway.
That was the third one. Yeah, no, sorry, fourth one.
Yeah. But, and then you get all these things from behind the scenes of Buffy mostly. Not a whole lot from, like, Firefly or any of those other shows. But apparently, Charisma Carpenter, like, he wrote her out because she got pregnant and was not nice about it and did a whole disservice to her and some of the other actresses and actors. Primarily actresses, but also a couple of things. No, like, Harvey Weinstein-style stuff, but...
As far as we know,
I hope not. But anywho, so after that, he was pretty much pushed out of the spotlight, and we haven't really heard too much about him since. But what were your thoughts on Joss Whedon to begin with?
Well, again, I didn't really grow up with the Joss Whedon, universe. I did not watch Buffy. I did not watch Angel. You know, my first real introduction to Joss Whedon was probably Avengers. Mm-hmm. And I compare the Avengers to Age of Ultron very much similar to Batman Returns. The first movies are directed by their director in a way that works with the comic book adaptation, but then the second movie comes along and they turn it into their movie. You definitely can tell Age of Ultron is a Joss Whedon movie.
Oh, yeah. They gave him free reign.
Which is fine. I actually, the more I watch Age of Ultron, the more I actually enjoy the movie. It's actually very, very good. But, and it's very like Batman Returns. It's a Tim Burton movie. Mm. The first Batman, yes, it has some Tim Burton aspects to it, but it doesn't have like that Edward Scissorhands, dark German expressionistic feel to it. So I don't really have an opinion on Joss Whedon as much. He hasn't done enough to me, at least that I've seen, to really be like, oh my God, he's amazing. Mm. But the big thing about him is he doesn't have a lot of credits about it, but he was a big script doctor back in the day. You would hear he did, he would rework scripts for all different types of movies. Mm-hmm. A lot of movies he never got credit for. I mean, you only see it on the IMDb facts that, Joss Whedon did an uncredited rewrite of this script. So, stuff like that.
Right.
But I don't have any respect for people who are just assholes.
Yeah, I mean,
when there's a good amount of people saying the same thing about you, more than likely it's true.
Yeah, Joss Whedon, his defense was that Gal Gadot didn't understand English well enough to understand what he was saying.
That's an asshole response.
Yeah, her response was, I understand English perfectly, and I'll never work with him again. Yeah. But, and then about Ray Fisher and all, he said, I never worked with a ruder group of people on Justice League. I was like, Henry Cavill's rude?
Yeah.
He's adorable. He's the nicest, nerdiest guy.
It's just, again, the guy is, he's conceited. He thinks he's God's gift to filmmaking, probably. And, he finally got called out on it.
Mm-hmm.
And, that's what happens. A lot of times when you become really big, yes, he continued to be an asshole, but the past assholeness comes out to light. Look at a
past hole.
Much darker version of Bryan Singer.
Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah.
Actually, people are coming out to defend him all of a sudden.
It's weird how that happens.
Not defend what happened, but say that he was actually a really good filmmaker, which, fine.
Oh, yeah.
You can say he's a great filmmaker.
Say that about Joss Whedon, too. Or, you can even look at some of, who directed The Shining again off the top of
your head? Kubrick.
Kubrick. He was terrible to
Shelley Duvall and The Shining.
You hear horror stories, but that's okay.
Yeah.
That's totally fine.
Yeah.
But, he traumatized that woman.
Yeah.
Oh, 142 takes on the baseball bat scene? something like that? I told the cast not to talk to her or, help her or anything. Oh, man, rough. But anyway, let's talk about the movie, because this movie's just fun.
Oh, God, yes.
This is just a fun movie. So, the show and the movie have the exact same synopsis. It's about a varsity Valley Girl cheerleader who is chosen to save the world from vampires. And go.
Mm.
All right, so initial thoughts on the Buffy the Vampire Slayer film.
Oh, wow. So, again, I knew the show was much darker, much more serious. This movie is the definition of just fun, jokey, really not much serious, moments in this movie. There's a couple moments where you're like, oh, okay, that was a little dramatic, but for the most part, very hokey, which is not what Joss Whedon wanted. That was not in his original script. They lightened the movie up a lot more to be released. It's Valley Girl meets vampires.
Mm.
I mean, it's like the Clueless. It's Clueless before Clueless.
Right, because this was 92.
So this is just the movie starts off and the girls, it's literally, Clueless meets, the vampires. I mean, really, that's all I could say about it.
It's hokey.
It's hokey, but it's got a good spirit to it.
It's Clueless meets
cast.
Oh yeah, we'll talk about the cast in a second. But it's Clueless meets The Lost Boys. I think that's the best way to describe it.
Yeah, I could see that.
Because it does have some dark moments in it.
Yeah.
People die in this.
Well, obviously.
A lot of people die. But so let's start with the cast. We have Christy Swanson as Buffy Summers. Christy Swanson was such a 90s it girl.
She was late 80s. you know, into the 90s. I mean, she went all the way up to, remember her? In
Dude, Where's My Car,
which was the weirdest.
It's Christy Boner.
Because she's like probably almost 40 in that movie.
And oh my God, is she still gorgeous. She
still looked like she was like 25.
She looks great.
I mean, she goes all the way back to Ferris Bueller.
Oh yeah, that's right.
She's the girl in the classroom does the whole, like, you know.
I heard it from heard it from my sister's friend's brother's
boyfriend who saw Ferris pass out at 31 Flavors last night.
I still love it, but she's one of those actresses that I don't really think got her due though. Like she's got a few other things to her, but like in all honesty,
is probably her claim to fame is this movie.
She's 53.
Really?
Yeah, she was in Hot Shots.
Yeah.
Yeah, I forgot. I'm just looking at her.
Hot Shots. She was in The Chase.
Big
Daddy. That's right. She's the girlfriend in
Vanessa. Yeah.
Vanessa and the Big Daddy.
What happened to Sid's 5-year plan? And then not a whole lot of other stuff. Like,
nah, she kind of really kind of fell
after off. After Dude, Where's My Car? It kind of, and that was 2000. So yeah, after that, a couple of television things, but really like.
Her big thing was late 80s, early 90s.
Yeah. Oh, she was on Psych. That's nice. But yeah, otherwise, she hasn't been around. But like, I do like her. I think, again, she did not get her due. I feel like she's one of those actresses that everybody remembers and everybody knows, but nobody like, oh, I remember. You really just remember her for this.
I think this is her biggest role.
Mm-hmm. So next going down, we have another big 90s star, Luke Perry's Oliver Pike. First and foremost, rest in peace, Luke Perry.
Yes.
Big fan. Yep. He was one of the best things about Riverdale, even though that show went off the rails.
And this is Luke Perry season 2 of Beverly Hills 90210. So this is Luke Perry at his all-time high.
At his Perriest.
There you go.
Yeah, so, 92 is when this movie came out. And then, I'm trying to... Beverly Hills 90210, the first season was 90. So, probably about... he did almost 200 episodes of that show.
Yeah.
But I liked Luke Perry. Anytime he was on something, I was always like, oh, it's Luke Perry. You know, he did a great episode of SVU. You remember that one? Where... it's the kid who has like the explosive anger and he's like driving the truck in the beginning. And like apparently he's
a weirdly good memory when it comes to SVU episodes.
Oh yeah. It's TV in general. Like Smallville was the same way.
We do, yeah. Smallville. I'm better with movies than I am with TV shows.
Yeah. You definitely are. Especially if the movie was like made years and years and years ago. But anywho, we're like a good combo though.
Oh yeah.
It complements. But I like Luke Perry again, another actor. He's really just known for Beverly Hills 90210. I think Riverdale helped.
It was like that. It's the word you always use when it comes to old stuff into new stuff.
Nostalgic.
Nostalgic was having him in that show.
Oh, absolutely. And he just brought a lot. He's just a likable guy.
Yeah.
Did you ever watch Beverly Hills 90210? I don't think I was allowed to.
Not when it was on regularly, but like in reruns.
Yeah, and then they did
on
like
the FX network. Or they stuff did
the
like that.
The remake with the girl from Fired Up, Panthers Out.
Oh really?
Yeah.
I think I watched the first two seasons on like streaming, and it's a much more serious Saved by the Bell.
Yeah. Oh, definitely.
You know, so it was.
And now going down the list, we got Rutger Hauer as Lothos, the bad guy.
Rutger Hauer, rest in peace.
I know, man. Like he's again, so many of these actors are like actors you know.
Yeah.
And if you don't know them, you just have to mention something that they were in. You're like, oh my God, it's that guy.
And he's another one very similar to the next actor we'll mention. Rutger Hauer's really not in the movie that much.
I mean, no.
He really is. I think combined screen time, I'd say, is maybe like 10 minutes.
Mm-hmm.
He really has like one scene in the first half and then like the ending. Mm-hmm. I mean, he really doesn't make much of an appearance. You know, he's kind of like held back to be like the big reveal near the end of the movie.
He was in Batman Begins more than he was in this.
Probably. Yeah. That makes sense.
But
he might have been in Smallville longer than he was in this.
Oh my God. Who was he in Smallville?
Season 4 and 5.
Oh, he's Morgan Edge.
That's it.
That's right. Wow. Oh, look at that. I like him.
Paul.
Again, he's one of those actors that pop up all sorts of places.
Oh, yeah. I mean, go back to Blade Runner. You know, he's a great actor.
You got Donald Sutherland as Merrick Jameson Smythe.
Did they ever have Merrick in the show?
No, they kind of warped his character. And like, so when the show comes out, they take a lot of these character concepts and change them.
Okay.
Some of them are very similar, and then others just not so much.
Wow.
Yeah.
Well, Donald Sutherland, the character of Merrick, he's basically the guy who has to train Buffy to become the Slayer. He has progressed through time and he finds every Slayer after, you know, once they, you know, come of age to become, to start training. You never find out exactly what he is. Is he like a he's not a, because he dies.
Yeah, so he is in the show. I will say it. He appears in a flashback very similar to, like, he recruits Buffy into the whole war against it. But yeah, you don't ever see him in too much, but he is the father of, he, like, in the comic book that comes after the show, they do a little bit more about him. But in all honesty, yeah, he's not really that much around. But he's basically, he becomes like the Giles of the show, where he's like the watcher, you know.
And I liked him in this. He kind of has that, he has a good little chemistry with Christy Swanson. You're very, like, just straight-laced. He doesn't really do anything funny, but he's just having to deal with this, you would assume she's got to be like 17, 18-year-old girl who is just worrying about the dumbest things in the world, and he's just like, I'm trying to train you to save the world here. Mm-hmm. You know, it's like
it's weird because, like, Buffy's only, like, I think she's 16 in the show when it starts, so you get to kind of see her grow, because the show only went for 7 seasons, if my research is correct. Like, it feels like it was on forever. But you got Paul Reubens as Amelin. He has probably the funniest bit in the entire movie.
So I remember the first time I ever saw this movie was on TBS, and they actually promoted it that Paul Reubens was in the movie.
Oh, yeah.
And he was like the vampire. And I'm like, wait, Pee Wee Herman's playing a vampire? I have to watch this.
Yep.
And this is...
This is before the whole...
Is it before or is it after?
I think it was before the whole...
Whole movie theater incident. Yeah. No.
This was after?
This was after.
Really?
That was in July of 91. Yeah. Because I think I read somewhere that it was the director or whoever was really wanted him, and the studio didn't want to.
But then he got arrested in 2002 for pornography.
Oh, really?
Yeah. Oh, my God.
But he is hysterical in this movie.
Oh, he's really funny.
He just plays this sidekick vampire who's got a leather jacket. He's got a goatee. I mean, if you did not know it was Paul Reubens, you couldn't recognize him.
Yeah. And again, he has the... like, our favorite bit in the entire movie is when he gets... So basically, in this iteration, the vampires, they have to be staked. You know, wooden stake. And they don't disappear. They don't turn to dust. Like, in the show, they turn to dust because I think one of the commentaries basically said, we didn't want them to have to worry about bodies every week. Like, just dead bodies all over the town. So in this, they get staked, and then they die. But Paul Reubens milks it so far, he goes into the post-credits. It was all right.
It's Family Guy before Family
Guy. So who'd win in a fight? Peter Griffin rubbing his knee, Lois Griffin rubbing her boob, or Paul Reubens getting... Okay, Paul Reubens. You didn't even let me finish.
No,
wow.
I didn't, because I'm sorry. I love Family Guy. I do, but...
You didn't let me finish. I was going to say Paul Reubens rubbing in the movie theater.
Stop.
Too much?
God.
1990 called.
Wow.
Man, Paul Reubens. Did you ever watch Pee-wee and all that?
I do remember it, but I was told I did watch it.
I like the movie.
Oh,
Pee-wee's Big Adventure
is
good.
See, I remember I was a big fan of the second Pee-wee movie. Top Pee-wee a lot.
That's
more
a good
than
one. It's a little bit more family friendly, I think.
Yeah, Pee-wee's Big Adventure is a little, but it's
scary.
It's so good.
You got the scene with Large Marge.
Oh, it's so
and
good.
You've got obviously the scene with the clowns ripping apart the bicycle. I still can't watch that scene.
But the show.
Show was
I have
acid
vague
trip.
Memories of
yeah,
that.
I think
show.
We watched it. I think we
like
probably
Lawrence
had it on tape.
Lawrence Fishburne as the cowboy. S. Epitha Murkerson was in it. Just seriously, like an acid trip of a show.
Mm-hmm.
But I don't remember the show as much as I do remember the movies.
We also had Hilary Swank in this. Weird.
Academy Award winning Hilary Swank.
Paris Vaughn as Nikki. Well, oh, by the way, Hilary Swank played Kimberly, because they all have, like, you know, like Valley Girl names.
Mm.
Michelle Abrams as Jennifer. Randall Blantikoff as Jeffrey. David Arquette as Benny. And he could fly in this.
Oh.
Let me in. You got Stephen Root as the principal.
I love Stephen Root.
I'm a fan. He's one of those
My Stapler.
He's one of those actors that melts away into a role. Like,
he does, but he also hasn't changed the way he looks in 30 years.
Yeah, but you can tell the difference between, like, you have a, what was his name in Milton? Or, like, the guy in Dodgeball.
Yeah.
You know?
Well, the guy in Milton, they made him up so much. I mean, like, you might not be able to recognize him much as Milton, but in every other role.
Yeah, he looks
exactly. But he's another one that can play drama. He can play physical comedy. He could play, you know, like, goofy comedy. You know, he is so good.
You got Natasha Gregson Wagner as Cassandra, Sarah Jensen as Grueler, Tom Jane as Zeph, Candy Clark is Buffy's mom. And here's where it gets fun. Ben Affleck, uncredited as basketball player number 10. Yeah. Ricky Lake as Charlotte. These are all uncredited. Seth Green as a vampire who would go on to be on the show. And Alexis Arquette as a vampire DJ.
See, I didn't know about Alexis Arquette. Yeah. Now that I recognize the scene with the vampire DJ, I'm like, wow, that is
definitely her.
So Tom Jane, though, like, that's, yeah. I'm trying to, who is that character? I don't recognize him.
I know. We might have to rewatch this.
We might have to rewatch it.
I wonder where I can find this. It's probably on somewhere.
It's
probably streaming somewhere. But so the plot is very simple.
HBO Basically, Max.
Is it on HBO Max?
It's on HBO
Max. Oh, I know what I'm doing later. But
what are you doing later?
I'm going back to work.
Wow.
That's why we're recording now. But anyway, so the premise is very simple. Buffy is just, you know, this snooty, rich cheerleader, like, you know, shopping and boys and this and that. And she gets approached by Merrick, who basically says, you're the Slayer, a chosen one, and you're going to kill vampires.
Mm-hmm.
But she also has these recurring nightmares about the main vampire.
Yeah.
And that's what kind of convinces her to do it. And, you know, she's got, like, superpowers. She's super strong. Well, she's agile. I don't know if
she's got really superpowers. She's got enough to punch people really hard. Punch people. But, like, so the scene where he takes her to the cemetery and he's like, just sit here and wait. And the vampires pop up. And she actually does a good job defending herself. So she realizes, okay, I have a talent here. So he's like, she like, so, okay, train me.
Yeah.
I wouldn't call it a superpower, though.
I declare that she does have some superpowers in this. In the show, they establish that Buffy, like, Slayers they're stronger, they're faster, they heal more.
Maybe, yeah, that might be.
I'm not talking, like, you know, shooting fire out of her hands. I'm talking about just a little bit. Imagine. That would save a lot of trouble for Buffy. Imagine. Yeah. That'd be a lot of fun. And basically, it's about stopping the bad guy, Merrick.
No, Merrick's the good guy.
Oh, yeah, he's the good guy. Lothos. That's such a cool name, Lothos. Mm. But what are your thoughts on this film? Like, if I had to ask you, explain to me or tell me about Buffy the Vampire Slayer movie. Tell me about it, Sean. Well,
I'd be like, did you watch the show?
For somebody who didn't watch the show, ever.
And I would be like, okay, you're going to have a good time. It's a 90s girl going up against vampires. She's a cheerleader. She's spoiled. She is very annoying, but she knows how to defend herself, and she is trained to, you know, kill these vampires in such a way that she saves her town. I mean, and there are so many funny moments. And I mean, the prom scene itself with all the vampires, where it's like, she's like, guys, they can't come in unless they're invited. And Hilary Swank comes in and is like, I invited them. And she's like, what are you talking about? They're seniors. It's the senior dance.
This movie it's got a lot of cheesy. I love it.
I love the principal where he's like, detention. And he's just throwing the slips on the dead bodies. It's like, nope, there's more over there.
Yeah. This is a very Monster Squad type movie.
Like,
they don't care about, like, secrecy or anything like that.
Even the funny scene at the end where they're like, during the credits, they have, like, the news report interviews, and, you know, they do the principal and then the ex-boyfriend, and he's like, oh yeah, I knew someone was coming, and we got out of there, and even when Paul Rubens first attacks Luke Perry in the van and he chops his arm off, you ruined my new jacket. Kill him a lot.
Yeah, this movie is cheesy. It's fun. Cheesy,
that's the best way to describe it. It's cheesy,
and even better, it doubled its budget. On a budget of $7 million, it made about $16.6 million. So that's not bad.
It doubled the budget, but it wasn't any blockbuster by any stretch.
Especially for a summer movie.
Yeah.
In July. Yeah. But
I mean, again, great cast. I mean, you had some really, you know, young up-and-coming actors in it. You had, obviously, the actors of the time, and Luke Perry and Christy Swanson. Donald Sutherland was a big name. Rucker Howard's a big name. Paul Rubens was a big name. For different reasons.
Was he allowed to go to the movie theater to see this movie?
I'm sure he was.
Oh, my God. For those of you guys who don't know, for some strange reason, Paul Rubin got arrested for exposing himself in an adult movie theater. Yeah, remember those things?
Do they still have those?
They probably do, but in all honesty, like...
Why would you?
Why do you need them?
Yeah. It's
silly. But
I find those in Times Square all the time.
Oh, God. Peep shows and all that. Oh, no thanks. No thank you. Why does he have a mop? Don't worry about it.
Would you ever grow up in the 80s during, like, that time in the city, like where, like, you know, just anytime you walked in the city, it was like every
triple X bookstores.
Always think of Back to the Future with the theater. It's like triple X show.
Yeah. Oh god. What? The only triple X movie I've ever seen was the movie Triple X with Vin Diesel.
And that was not a triple X movie.
No, but it was a good time though. It was before he was like overly growly. Every family, the street always wins. But Star City rating for Buffy the Vampire Slayer?
3.5.
3.5? I will concur. I think it's if you watch the show first and then try and watch this, you probably aren't going to enjoy it as much.
Probably not.
If you watch this and then watch the show, you're going to enjoy it, I think, a little bit more. Because I think the show is such an icon in its own right. People forget there was a movie.
Oh, absolutely.
And I think...
I mean, it was what? When did the show first start? 96?
Something like that.
So it was 4 years. It wasn't like the movie was a big hit that the show was like had to happen right away.
Right.
It took a while. So, I mean, again, it's not... When you say Buffy the Vampire Slayer to 100 people, I will guarantee you that more than 75% would automatically think of the show than the movie. Again, depending on who you ask. If you ask people younger than us, they'll say the show.
Yeah.
If you ask people older than us, maybe they might say the movie. Or the movie, but...
All right. Well, with that, we are going to take a quick break, and when we come back, we are talking Buffy the Vampire Slayer, the series. But first, a quick break. Hey guys, it's Paul, and the Misfit Faction is looking for your help. We are trying to grow not only our network, but also grow our brands. And the best way to do that is if you guys are looking to start your very own podcast. Maybe you guys have been listening to us for a while. Maybe it's something you guys have always wanted to do, but you're not sure how to get started. If you go to podbean.com/misfitfaction, you guys will get a month of free podcasting on a set as a gift from us. So make sure if you guys are looking to start your own show, you reach out to us and go to podbean.com/misfitfaction. Also, maybe you guys have your own online business or service. You're always looking to grow, and advertising is a very big part of that. If you guys go to sponsorship.podbean.com/misfitfaction, you guys can get $100 worth of free advertising, again, as a thank you from us to you guys. That's sponsorship.podbean.com/misfitfaction. All right, we are back, and now we are talking about one of my favorite shows of all time. And I'll be honest, my childhood crush... Still a queen in my eyes. And that's obviously David Boreanaz as Angel. No, I'm just kidding. Sarah Michelle Gellar, first childhood crush, like my biggest one. This was a show that I think I started watching in the second season just because my parents thought it was a little too scary for me. And they were not wrong. The first season is a little dark. It's definitely a little dark. Who would win in a fight, Sean? Buffy the Vampire Slayer or Sam and Dean Winchester?
You know what? I'm going to say Buffy.
I'm going to say Sam and Dean, even though I love Buffy, because they use guns.
Okay, she could use a gun if she wants.
She never uses guns.
Okay, but she could use a gun.
She probably could, but anywho. So
I'll take Sarah Michelle Gellar.
Oh, yeah, all the time. I want to watch her new show on Paramount called The Wolf Pack. It's like
I heard of that.
A very loose spinoff of Teen Wolf, but apparently it's not doing too well in the old ratings.
Oh, bummer.
Yeah, such a shame. But we have Sarah Michelle Gellar playing Buffy, and obviously Buffy has become... an iconic character. Now, let's preface this. This show was created in the early 90s and went to the... Or, excuse me, created in the late 90s and went to the very early 2000s. I think the last season was around 2004, 2005. This show also survived going from the WB to UPN and then right before the CW merger. This movie, or this show, is a little dated. If you're going to pick up Buffy and watch it now, just be aware, you are going to be dealing with some dated things, some dated concepts, some dated words... Like, they use a fair amount of slurs, but this show was iconic in a lot of different ways. It taught women empowerment. Buffy's like a icon among women. And also, it was one of the best and first depictions of a gay character with Willow Rosenberg. Mm. So, I know, Sean, you've never watched.
No.
Have you seen any episodes?
No, never. Just never. Never had watched it when it was on. And I don't even know if it was ever. Was it ever on TNT?
No, but if
I know
you,
Angel was.
Yeah, yeah, and we could talk about Angel a little bit, but
I don't remember Buffy ever being on like reruns.
No, it's on Fuse right now. That's what I was telling you before off air. Fuse is some random
it's
one
on
of those.
Hulu.
Random. Yeah, I highly recommend it. The first season is only 12 episodes. It's short. It
must have been like a mid-season replacement. Or something like
it aired in June of 97, so probably. Yeah. But then the following season, season two, came out. Oh no, excuse me. It ended in June. It was March to June. A little weird.
Yeah, because it's probably mid-season, and they probably just did 12 straight episodes, no reruns.
And then,
but I think this was also at the early, if not the maybe first, second, or third season of the WB Network. So this is like one of its founding shows.
Right. And this, I mean, 97, so like...
Yeah, so this is pre-Smallville, this is pre, you know, all of the you know, teen dramas that, you know, it's been known for.
This was pre-Dawson's Creek.
Yes.
I don't want to wait.
Season or two before Dawson's Creek. I think that was 97, 98.
And this show's also unique in that it aired in March. It went from March to June of 97, and then the second season of 22 episodes came out in September of that same year.
Yeah.
That is a very short turnaround.
Yeah.
Especially to go from like a spring mid-season replacement to a full-on, you know, like the CW really also pioneered the whole, we started like big shows in September and then little shows. Like, I think Legends started off as a littler show. Or a couple
Legends started off mid-season, as I recall.
Yeah, a couple of their bigger quote-unquote shows. But again, it survived. It did five seasons on the WB, and then it was supposed to end. Like, if you watch the last episode of season five, you could tell that's where it was supposed to end. She, spoiler alert, she dies. And then UPN ended up picking up the show for two additional seasons, and they have to unwrite the last episode.
I remember that. I remember one night, all of a sudden, I was like, Buffy's on UPN?
Yeah, it was a big thing.
I was like, really?
Really big thing. But it's a show that really took the whole world by storm when it came out. Like, it had merchandise and it, you know,
merchandise.
There was a video game.
Really?
And it, like, you would change between the characters.
What system?
I want to say I played it for PlayStation 2, but I really, like, I can't remember that well. But you have Sarah Michelle Gellar, and you learn a lot about the Slayers in this. It's a little bit different than the movie.
Well, you have a lot more time to work with the character and actually, you know, do a backstory and all that stuff.
Yeah.
That's the one good thing about a show, man. You have time.
Right.
You know, to really stretch the characters out, to, you know, come up with new ideas that a movie you don't have much time to really warrant doing.
Mm-hmm.
So
yeah, you also
now have she a Valley Girl in this? Like in the first season? Like
this show's a little weird. So it starts off the first season starts off with her moving to Sunnydale after leaving her old high school where she set fire to the gym.
Oh, nice.
So they kind of allude to like the stuff of the movie, except in this darker tone. And so she basically got kicked out of school for becoming the Slayer and, you know, fighting vampires and lighting the gym.
Oh, so she's already a Slayer when the show starts.
She is already the Slayer when the show starts.
Oh, okay, so it kind of insinuates that this show starts after the movie ends where she killed all the
vampires.
All the vampires, and they're like, okay, you're expelled.
Yeah,
like,
so
I saved your lives, guys. Thank you.
In season two, though, they do a flashback to her when she gets recruited by that version of Merrick.
Mm-hmm.
And she's, you know, she is the Valley Girl. She's like, you know, call me, hi, bye, you know, all these things, you know, cheerleader and all that stuff. But you do get that brief flashback.
Okay.
You also have some of the other more iconic characters. You got Rupert Giles, played by Anthony Stewart Head, the Watcher. So basically, he takes over the role of Merrick. And like the father figure to Buffy. And you get to kind of see him, his ups and downs. He's a very, like, John Constantine-type character, if Constantine ever, like, got straight-laced. Like, in his youth, he goes by the name Ripper, and he's, like, part of a coven and stuff like that. It's wild. You got her friends, Willow Rosenberg, played iconically by Allison Hannigan. She's another actress who took off after this show. You know, between this, American Pie, and How I Met Your Mother, like, she really, she's gotten her due, which I like. You have Xander Harris, played by Nicholas Brendon. Now, he's another one who kind of went off the rails after this show. A lot of addiction issues. You know, he's on Dr. Phil. He walked off Dr. Phil, which apparently is ending now, which is sad.
Is it?
It's Dr. Phil. Love Dr. Phil. You also have Joyce Summers, played by Christine Sutherland, the mom of Buffy the Vampire Slayer.
Mm.
I love Christine Sutherland. She's another one. You got Michelle Trachtenberg comes in around season, I want to say it's like season 4 or 5, where she plays the sister. And you remember Michelle Trachtenberg, right?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, yeah. Eurotrip.
Pete and Pete.
Harriet the Spy. Who'd win in a fight? Her character from Pete and Pete or Harriet the Spy?
I don't really remember the character from Pete and Pete much.
Neither did I. That's why I referred to her as the character from Pete and Pete.
I don't remember a lot about Pete and Pete.
I just remember there were two guys named Pete. And Arnie, the strongest man in the world.
Oh, that's right.
Yeah. And you have Angel, played by David Boreanaz. Popular character, would eventually go on to get his own show. Now, this is my issue with this show, especially on a rewatch. Now, people give Twilight a hard time for the fact that Edward Cullen is like so old and Bella's like 16. Yeah, Buffy was like 16 or 17 when the show started, and Angel was, you know, over 200 years old. Yeah, but people tend to forget about that, and it's super romanticized. But so very similar to like Twilight and all these other. When vampires get turned in this, they don't age anymore. They're done aging. Like yeah. they stop. But it's interesting. You also have Kirstie Carpenter as Cordelia, who's another character that really came into her own and then went over to Angel. You got
Elijah Dushku's in this.
Elijah Dushku. This is my first time ever seeing her. Yeah. This is before Bring It On and The New Guy and all that stuff. I love Eliza Dushku. She's another actress that just
Jane Silent Bob Strike Back.
Jane Silent Bob Strike Back. I'm really glad I'm Italian for that one. She needs some hot fixes. But I'm a big fan. Sean's losing it. I just got him. Man, sometimes we really should do video. Let's see. Who else? Big names. We had Seth Green as Daniel Oz Osborne. He was a lot of fun. He was very reserved in this. Mm-hmm. You know, you see Seth Green nowadays and he's like, you know, like more eccentric and all that stuff. But he was like, that's like part of his character that he's just very like reserved. And of course, one of my other favorite characters is Spike, played by James Marsters. Yes, Piccolo from Dragon Ball Evolution. Yeah, we don't need to talk about it. But he's another character that took on a whole fan base of his own. Like, went from evil to good, and then, like, just badass. I love it. So, it's hard for me to ask you anything about this show, because you have not watched this show.
No, sadly, I have not.
Have you ever had any desire to watch it?
I have, but it just, again, never got around to it.
Never got around? Would you ever want to? Like,
I would if I have the time.
Mm-hmm. Even just like the first time. Like even just like the first episode?
Maybe? Maybe not.
That'd be a fun watch episode.
Maybe not.
We got to figure out which one of our shows we're going to start doing commentary on. We could do it on MF Uncensored, featured podcast of the month on Podbean.
Oh.
Shameless plug.
Could do that?
We could, but that would be a lot of fun. So we won't do too much about the actual show because Sean sucks, and he's one of 17 people.
I told you you could talk about it. I'll just sit here
and just
you
sit
know,
there and smile and wait.
Not trying to fall asleep.
Wow. Savage. But anyway.
Well, it wasn't a knock on you. I'm just tired.
Yeah, I know you're tired. It's been a long day. But I'm a big fan, and if you guys have ever seen Buffy, like, seriously, it's well worth the time. Anybody?
Could you see them redoing Buffy today?
They probably will at some point, and I hate to say it, but they'll probably recast with somebody of color or somebody of a minority just because I think Joss Whedon said that he wanted to. I have no problem with that per se. They've had a lot of, like, they've had other Slayers in the show, but in all honesty, find the right actress to play Buffy, and I'm behind it. Like, if you find the best actress possible, yeah. I'm all about it. So I wouldn't be surprised, but who. At this point, you know, Joss Whedon's kind of taboo. And
well, people they can do it without Joss Whedon.
I know, but the fact that it is Joss Whedon, you know.
It's still. It's not. He's not God's gift to humanity.
Yeah, I know, but like just because his name is attached to it. So I'm going to give Buffy the Vampire Slayer, though, a 4 out of 5. It is, I think it's lost a little in time. It's not as, because it's not as. Sometimes it's hard
relevant.
To watch it.
It's not as like, relevant.
Why do they have a payphone? What is that?
Oh, that you know,
like stuff like that. But some of the phrasing that they used was very early 2000s. Like the things you were allowed to say on TV. I was shocked. But anyway. So
it was also WB. They could get away with a little more.
Yeah, a little bit more. So let's jump into Fan Feedback Friday. This week, who is the worst TV or movie protagonist? Who's
forgot to post that one.
I know. So
TV protagonist would be Sheldon from The Big Bang Theory.
Oh, really?
He is annoying.
He annoys you? Yeah.
He's a great character, but he's just annoying.
Do you have a movie one?
A movie protagonist that you love to hate.
Mm.
That was tough because I was like, who is a good guy, but you don't like him? Let me get back
to you. It isn't even somebody that you love to hate. It's just who's a terrible protagonist that you had to follow. Like, you had to, like, watch this movie and you're like, this guy kind of sucks.
Yeah, that's what I'm trying to think.
We have Joe Goldberg from You.
I don't even know what that is.
Oh, producer Melanie and I have been watching You. She's watched the whole show.
I'm watching You?
Yeah, it's a show You.
Oh, You or me?
No, stop it. Don't start with this. Who's on first? I can't. We have all the characters from Battlefield Earth.
That was a good one.
Oh, yeah. We have TV Rick Grimes from movie Jar Jar Binks.
Yeah.
That's a good one. I would even say Skywalker in the in Attack of the Clones.
Maybe.
Yeah, anything? You got something? Come on, you can do this. Who's just
Kylo Ren.
Kylo Ren. I could see that because they do make him a protagonist. But yeah, that's a fun one. So if you guys are ever looking to do Fan Feedback Friday, it's super easy. All you got to do is go on Facebook and find us, Cinematic Adventures. You can also find more of us on Instagram, Twitter, TikTok. Just type in the Misfit Faction. Odds are you'll find some of our stuff. And of course, we have our website, themisfitfaction.com. There you find links to all of our shows, including MF Uncensored, as I mentioned, Podbean Podcast, featured of the month, which was really cool. And we want to thank Podbean for that one. And the Multiverse Fancast, the show that started it all. You can also find links to our news, reviews, articles, and of course, the Misfit Faction store. One day, Sean's going to buy something from it.
Maybe.
But that is going to wrap us up for today. As always, I'm Paul.
I'm Sean.
And we'll see you guys next time.